Hello, friends. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. I just wanted to tell you that I'm so glad you're taking time to listen to this sermon. It is my hope it'll lift your spirits and then motivate you to move out of your comfort zone. Stay tuned now for a message from Harvest Christian Ministries. It's already in progress.
Don't be angry if I washed his feet with my tears.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen. You don't know. Well, you think you know, but you don't know. You don't know what he's done for me. You wasn't there. You don't know how he brought me through. But I know. Yeah. What a great God we serve. If you only knew your neighbor's story, you would understand why they do what they do. Why they say what they say. Why? They got a story. This is my story. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this moment of proclamation. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which sets the atmosphere. The Spirit that touches every heart. Now as we bring your word, God, may it reach someone today. May someone be helped. And we'll be so careful to give your name the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it something when the Lord just stops by for a little while? We're going to share today from the scripture that was mentioned, Ephesians 3 and 20. And I'm using two versions because I like what the Message version says as well. It says in verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. And then the Message, Eugene Peterson's version of the Bible, says God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. I want to share today, as we've been talking about prayer all this year, from the sermonic title, It's Just My Imagination. It's just my imagination, and some of y'all over 50 already thought of the temptation, so I may as well get that out of the way. Amen? Don't do WAP on me in here. Imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all that ever will be known and understood. Albert Einstein quoted this some time ago, the Nobel Peace Prize winner. But so often, imagination really relates to how we paint word pictures. Today, I look at my grandchildren, and they have the most creative imaginations. And truth be told, didn't you daydream every now and then? And as far as you were concerned, you made a cape up, and you were Superman for a moment. You put on another outfit and became, you know, ISIS. And whatever that might be, we even as adults use our imagination to think out of the box. So much so that we sometimes will supplant ourselves on a beautiful island and life is good and somebody's waiting on you until you wake up and realize that's just a dream. But using one's mind to imagine, I think is awesome. I'm not a neurosurgeon, but there has to be a chip somewhere in our brains that allow us to think big and large. I used to think about being in front of the microphone. It got me in trouble in school. But I was already Tim Tootin with a piece of paper and a pencil pretending I was doing my profession now. If there's anyone who knows about imagination, it has to be the Apostle Paul. God often spoke to him in dreams and in visions, and Paul obeyed the Lord in faith. Now keep in mind that the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So even as you imagine what God can do, while in the natural you can't touch it, but isn't it great to be in that space, but for a moment, you know what? That's possible. You and I both run across young people and ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do with your life? And sometimes they'll give you a half answer. Other times you'll push them and tell them to do what? Just imagine all that's possible, especially in the household of faith. So before us this morning, what we have really is a prayer that Paul writes from a Roman prison to the church at Ephesus. Paul encourages, even though he's in solitary confinement. Some years back, I had the opportunity to go to Ephesus and to be able to walk down the streets of that great city and to be able to talk and learn about the history. There are parts that still exist, but Paul wrote saying, I am praying for you. There in the third chapter, Paul declares, he says, I'm praying that you might be strengthened in your faith. I'm praying that Christ will make his home in your heart. I'm praying that you might receive the vastness of God's love. I'm praying that you might be filled with the power of God. But then as he writes to the church at Ephesus, he concludes with what is called a doxology, or really the benediction. Paul closes the prayer by really going to another level and saying, Lord, I want to end this prayer this way. As you pray before the Lord, at some point in your prayer, you'll end it. A doxology is just a closing, but this prayer letter is passed all around Ephesus. The power of prayer. And prayer gives us the kind of hope that allows us to move on a little further. Let me just pause right there. Even when everything else seems to be down and not working, you know and I know you can lift up a prayer unto the Lord, and I guarantee you something will happen. Won't he do it? That, you know, it don't have to be a long dissertation, but Lord, I need you now. In our frustrations, we pray. In our challenges, we pray. And Paul is saying, I want you to know that in spite of where I am, I'm praying for you. Now, you think, man, I'm locked up. I could be saying, woe is me. But he had that much faith and that kind of relationship, he could be in chains still praying for you who are free. That's why I'd always take mother's prayers and grandma's prayers and pop prayers. They've been through something. And they said, child, you can make it. I said, oh, thank you, thank you. How many of y'all know that when some folk who are yet a little gray-haired tell you, oh, you're going to be all right, baby, you'll receive that thing. Why? They've been through something, and they've got history with God and seen some things happen along the way. God has ability. God has abundance. God has authority. Let's unpack this passage. First and foremost, let's talk about God's ability. Verse 20 says, now to him who is able. God is able. God has the power. God has the opportunity. God has the means. God has the skills. I believe God's able. I may not be able. I may miss the mark. But aren't you glad today that the God that you serve is yet able?
Don't have to prove it. He's just able. He can fix it. He can straighten it out. And I'm glad to be able to serve that kind of God. And Paul makes reference to this kind of God, even though I'm in bonds, that on more than one occasion, when I was shipwrecked, when I was beaten, when I've come through, Paul still comes out and says, you know what? I still have my same testimony. I know it's been rough and the hills have been hard to climb, but God is still able. God has the ability to take care each of your needs. I got a little history with God. So much so that God has watched over me. I pitch myself saying, God, is that me? It doth not yet appear what you shall be. There was no script, no 5-year plan. No, I had the right people. No, I pushed the right button. But God blows our mind, because no matter where you are, never forget that God is able. I'm feeling that thing this morning. That's some old fogey type stuff. That no matter what I'm going through, I may not be able, but God's able. Is there a witness today to say, you know what, Reverend, I believe that thing too? That to him who is able, he got ability. Can you testify in your own life that he's able? If I push you far enough, you say, wait a minute, Reverend, I can tell you about that time. Down to my last penny, and something came through. I can tell you about my body needing healing, and God, I can't tell your story. But if you think about what he's done in your life, you can yet stand and say, God has ability. God is able to do it. Now, every Sunday when I leave, I always close out with the doxology. Amen? And it's in the book of Jude. It says, now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power. Amen? Both now and ever. That's the doxology every Sunday I close with. Now unto him who's what? Oh, you didn't say that thing right. Who's able to do what? To do what? And to do what? Come on, church. And to do what? Amen. He's the one who takes care of us. God has ability. But not just that. God has abundance. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. This sermon was born on last Sunday. As I talked with some of the members, we were talking about how God would just do stuff way above what you can even think about. Your little list ran out, and God blows your mind. I came down the hall, and somebody else hit it. I got ready to leave, and I said, you know what? That's the word for Sunday. I put that thing in the crock pot all week long and just let it get tender and say, you know what? God will blow my mind. It's not just my imagination. I serve a God who is real and who has everything that I need. Abundance. But this word immeasurably simply means very great in size. Impossible to measure. What God has done for you, you can't even put it into perspective. Why? You can't explain it. Press, you could not figure it out. He will do more than you can ask or even think about. Hadn't even crossed your mind yet, and God is already saying, I'm going to do it. Aren't you glad when God steps in and you run out of words and can't say, he said, I got this. But I'm not going to just give you what you need. I'm going to go over and above. And let me just say this. This is not a name it and claim it theology. Jump 2 times, get the pastor's towel from Sunday, and a check is in the mail. I don't buy that. But I do buy that God can do anything but fail. That God owns everything. He made the heavens and the earth. God has abundance. And so you haven't even thought about it yet. He's already doing it. Hadn't even crossed your mind yet. He's already provided for you. I'm glad I serve that kind of God who's already got me. Why? He knows what's best for you. Make you want to tear your list up. Your list is too fleshy. my list is too much about me. But when I let God handle this thing, and I know it says, ask and you shall receive, and seek and you shall find, and knock, the door shall be open. But even when I go beyond that, He still got me. Does God have you today? Do you sense He really has you? Paul says, I couldn't even imagine what God would do in my life. And I'm saying to you, as a locked up, solitary confinement prisoner, I'm giving you hope from where I am, saying, you can't even think about it. He is much bigger than that. And I like the fact that when your imagination runs wild, that's not all bad. As long as it's holy stuff. Isn't that great? That it can run wild. God, take me to a place I've never been. Paul says, I was in a third heaven. It got so rich. Has God ever taken you on a journey? Oh, come on, y'all can't do Disney World now. Y'all don't get to. Has God ever just taken you? You just enjoying the. Oh Lord, thank you. Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, ooh, look at that. And God can do that. Why? He holds everything. He has an abundance. He's able to share with you and I. And when I thought about what might be a subscripture to this, Malachi came to mind. Amen. It says, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse." That there might be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. Have your cup ever run over? I mean, you wasn't being greedy, but God said, I got enough for you and for Big Mama and for Big Daddy and for your neighbor. And for your co-worker, and it's not just material stuff. I've given you enough joy that you can take it wherever you go. Whole song says, take the Lord with you. Children, everywhere you go. In the streets, in the crowd, in your home, all alone, on the highway, on the byway. Take the Lord. You've got so much in you, you can share it. And because you've imagined it, God can take just that and do something with it. I hope I'm making sense today. Why? It's helping me. I've always played God kind of low. You know, I've played it safe. Have you? Like, I won't ask for too much. If folks know I asked for it and it don't happen, then I might look bad. But I've played God way too low. And I've had the Spirit say to me, what you want? I'm like, well, you know, I'll be happy, God. Any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. Yeah. He said, no. What do you really want? And so often we've not asked God, God, I need more patience. God, I need more healing. God, I need more of this. It's not just material, but maybe you hadn't smiled in a week. God, give me a smile. Amen. I believe a smile begets a smile. I'm a smile at somebody. And oftentimes you smile at somebody, they can be the meanest person on the job. They might give you a half a little twerk. Amen. But that's so important. God's abundance, God's ability, but finally, God's authority. Amen? God's authority. So what happens is, he says, according to the power that worketh within you, according to this inward part, that I've so filled you that there's so much power in you. Why? Because when you receive Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says you're what? You are filled with the Holy Spirit. So unless you think it's because of you, it's not. All of this, more than you can even imagine or think, according to the power that works within. God's power is not like a hurricane. But God has this force and this strength. Don't you see God as a God who is strong and mighty, mighty in battle? I don't serve a weak God. I see God as somebody who's like, I got this. Amen? And as the world goes this way and that way, and election goes that, I'm not worried about all that. That I know who's in charge. God is in charge. I'm a powerful person. Not because of who I know. Not because of what I have. Not because of where I work. But I'm powerful because what? The Spirit of God lives in me. See, you've been playing yourself as a weakling when absolutely that's wrong. God has given you the Holy Spirit. And He has given you power to get through every situation you might face. Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead will raise you from where you are today. My God, lift your heads up and know that if I can think this thing and think it through, I know God can do it. Gospel of Luke says, I've given you authority. Here. Not real country, not here. Here. Take this. All right? To trample on snakes and scorpions. Now, let me just stop for a moment. You have to take the Bible in context. There was a group in West Virginia who they got bit by a scorpion and a snake. He was given an example. He didn't say go out and grab a snake or grab a scorpion. And they were getting bitten. He says, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Does that make sense? So don't go out and get a snake. He was just saying those things that would seem to come against you, you could replace that with something else. But I've given you power over the enemy. You're not defeated. He has all power in his hands. And that nothing will harm you. Do you feel God's power in your life today? Amen. Not the power of the world, but the power of God that allows you to go from one step to the next. I'm glad. And you know, every now and then I can really imagine what it must have been like for our Lord and Savior to be beaten. I can imagine if I had a front row seat to Calvary and to watch him being pierced in the side. I imagine they put him in this tomb, and in my own mind's eye, I see that tomb being rolled away. Can you imagine that through all of that he still rises and still has all power in his hands? Can imagine him being transformed and being transfigured and going back to be with his Father? I can see him sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. I can only imagine that place called heaven, a place where Jesus returned, a place that he's going to prepare just for us. I hear it's a city that has much beauty and costly stones and clear jasper and 12 gates and 12 foundations. I hear there's a river of the water of life that flows freely through the city, and there are leaves to heal the nation. I'm told it's a place of no mores. Can you imagine that? No more tears, no more pain, no more separation, because death will be conquered. And the best thing about heaven is being in the presence of the Lord himself. Can you imagine coming face to face with the Master? I mean, just use your imagination. I mean, he's going to prepare a place for you, and where he is, you'll be also. Let me break it down to 2016. You ever gone to some place and you had your reservation, so you thought, and when you got there, they said, then what's your last name again? And you got hot? Don't you know that when you serve the Lord and you get to glory, there'll be a room with your name on it? And there won't be any mix up about, wait a minute, now what's the last four numbers of your car? No. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Well, songs say, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Can you imagine what that's going to be like to get into the presence of a living God? Wouldn't that be something to have him say he welcomes you in at the welcome table? My God, every day that I live, every day I watch the news, every day I see another obituary, I realize that my time may not be long. I don't know when, but I'm glad today that I can imagine this great city. And imagine this great God, and imagine the time we'll have singing and shouting on the streets of glory. Oh, you don't feel that thing yet. Singing and shouting on the streets of glory. My imagination. It's just my imagination. Don't hate on me. It's just my imagination. I believe he's a God who has the ability. It's just my imagination. He's a God of abundance. It's just my imagination. He's a God of authority. And so therefore, I can think on it. Think on these things. Things that are lovely. Things that are a good report. Use your sanctified imagination. Thank you, Paul, for taking time to write a letter, dipping your pen and writing on some old parchments. Now, unto him, come on, Paul, who is a chain on one hand, able to do, above, yeah, come on, everything, and according, now somebody give it to him. And God has left you a book called the Bible with all of his promises. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. Amen. Come on, give God a praise today as you stand to your feet today. It's just my imagination. Today, I want you to start digging back in your archives of things that you say, oh, no, that never happened. It was just daydreaming. And think on those things that God can do and will do in the life of the believer. And maybe you've come today and you've never imagined that he would save your soul. Can you imagine that? With all he knows about you, all your secret stuff, and still he offers salvation to you. Now that blows me away. That every step of the way, with everything I've said and done, and there's a plan of salvation, that's awesome. No one can do you like that. Maybe you've come today. You never imagined that he could save you. Never imagined. The devil has told you, oh, you're not worth it. He don't like you. You've done too many things. That's why he's the father of lies. Today, I proclaim to you that Christ is available to save you. If you would only accept him as your personal savior, that's the greatest thing you could ever do in this life. As you bow your heads today, and search your own heart. Maybe you've never proclaimed and professed Him as your Savior. You can do it right now. The Bible says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Today, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you might save one in this place who knows you not. If they would but imagine and see themselves in your presence. Do it today, God, by your power divine. We're not a hopeless people. But God, we have hope today that there's still power in you. There's still hope in you. And there's salvation in you. God, save that soul today. Touch that heart today. We believe it and we count it done in that life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody give God a praise today. Can you imagine? I can only imagine what that might be like. Say, hey, man, to get right in His presence. Can you imagine that? And to be able to dialogue with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's possible today. As you come, maybe you've come to be a part of this ministry called Harvest. The doors are open for you to come and to fellowship, to grow, and to be loved on by the people of this fellowship. No, we're not perfect. When you find the perfect church, let me know. I'll be sure not to go there. Amen? We're people who are flawed, but I'm always more concerned about your eternal life than I am your life in the church. But if you come, you desire to be a part of this work, the doors are open today for you. Amen? Praise God.
Thanks so much for listening. I want to tell you about a couple of other ways you can be inspired. Of course, by CD, but you can also listen to our sermons on the website we have for you. It's www.cometoharvest.org. That's come2harvest.org. Or by way of sermonaudio.com. That's sermonaudio.com. All you have to do is to search for Harvest Christian Ministries. You can also listen to our daily devotionals. They're new, and they're really gaining popularity. They're called Seeds of Encouragement. You can get them by way of iTunes, from podcasting, or from Facebook. Either way, we want to inspire you on a daily basis. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, the pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Be blessed.